I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 2. And I'll just read a few verses from verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Two quite staggering claims are made in verse 20. The people to whom the letter is addressed, and we who read it in a later age, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. We know that the Holy One is Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And yet there is a sense in which we too are anointed by him. Who do you anoint? You anoint royalty and those who are set apart for a holy purpose. Such are we. And evidently he's writing to people who are going through quite a hard time in their church. There are various teachers teaching and peddling false doctrines. Again, this is not really, I think, a happy church. And yet he reminds them they are anointed from the Holy One. Occasionally, certainly in churches I used to go to, people will say, oh, that was an anointed sermon. What they meant was that they enjoyed it. This is more significant than that. You are anointed from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, the older I get, the more I realise how little I know, and what once I knew, I cannot remember. He's not talking about, you know every single thing, every little piece and shred of knowledge on the planet you have got. No. They know all that they need to know. You see, the false teachers have crept in and they've said, what you know already is not enough. You need it topping up, supplementing, enlarging, increasing, and guess what? We are just the people you need. No. No. The faith was delivered unto the saints once and for all. That there is much we don't understand, there is much we do not know. But everything we need to know, we have. Some people, when you witness to them, they argue about strange and controversial points of theology. And you think, that is just a distraction. Because we should be talking about the gospel, but you want to talk about where Cain got his wife from. Everything we need to know, we know. Now, we've sung about going to heaven, if I can call it that. And in fact, it's the new heaven and the new earth about which we sung. And I'm certain we will know far more there than we know now. But what we know now is enough, and it is sufficient. And beware of he who comes along claiming to offer more than the Bible affords and provides. And he even says in verse 21, you know, this is not an evangelistic tract. You believe, I know you believe, and I'm writing because of that. You know the truth. And there is no lie in the truth. You've either got truth, or you've got falsehood. And if you mix up truth with falsehood, you've just got a cup of falsehood. He then begins by asking a rather direct question. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, evidently. That is what the false teachers were saying. Did they have another Christ in mind? Did they think there was no Christ? More likely, they separated the earthly Jesus from the cosmic Christ. We hear that from time to time in theological journals. Old lies come back. There was certainly a feeling, possibly among the early Gnostics, that Jesus was an ordinary man and he became the Christ at the baptism. Other people said, oh no, he was the Christ, he was a supernatural figure, but he wasn't really human, he just appeared, he did not come in the flesh. John makes it clear, he is the Christ and he came in the flesh. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. In fact, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. Again, then and now, people would say things like, well, I like a God, I believe in God, I have God, but I don't have Jesus Christ. Him we don't need. If you don't have Christ, you don't have God. Mm-hmm. He is the way. No man comes to the Father but by him. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father who sent him. If you do not have the Son, you do not have the Father. A Jew or a Muslim will talk about having God. But without Jesus Christ, they can't reach him. The American cults about which we hear so much demote the Son. Again, he's the only way to the Father. You can't have the Father without him. So he has direct words of rebuke for those who deny Christ, for those who deny his role in bringing us to the Father. But what does he say of the faithful believer? You know the truth. You have the truth. You know all the truth you need. And you are anointed by the Holy One. The cults and the false teachers often looked better, I think, than the faithful church. They were more eloquent, their meetings were perhaps more elaborate. Certainly their theology was more acceptable to the Greco-Roman world. But I think John's point in the four verses which I've taken tonight is don't worry about what people think about you. Who is it who has anointed you? The Holy One himself. There aren't many people in our meeting tonight, are there? For lots of very good reasons, I dare say. And I imagine on this wet Wednesday night, there might have been other places we could have been found, perhaps more salubrious than a semi-decorated chapel. Let's remember who we are. We've been anointed. We have an anointing from the Holy One. And in this book, and in our heart, we know all things. That means that we are a special and a privileged people. We might not be as attractive as some of the alternatives. We might not be as sophisticated as some of the competitors, if I can use that phrase. But just remember verse 20. We're anointed, and we know all the truth that's available to know. Amen. Mm-hmm.